All right, good morning, everybody. I hear God singing to me. And I hear every praise from my God to me. You know, guys, it's great being together. It's great having the teens back from teen camp. You guys have a good time? That's about what I expected. I know you're tired. You know, it's really good to be together. And I think one of the things I love about being together is the good news that we get to share. And hearing about the teens at teen camp, hearing about the stories, hearing about even what Dimitri was saying about the gym. I think we could stop this sermon and we could just encourage one another and maybe even walk away more empowered from this time together by just sharing good news. There's so much to share. And where do you find that in the world? You don't. I mean, you find that in the church, and this is a beacon of light for the world, but you really don't hear that in the world. What do you hear from the world? The bad news. News equals bad news. There's no such thing as good news in the world, and if it is, it's overrun by a larger news cycle somewhere else. Does that make sense? We're going to talk a little bit about some news in a second, but I just want to share some encouraging good news as we start this message today. I have a good friend from high school that I graduated from high school 6 or 7 years ago now, and we had started a Bible talk at our high school. Me and Seth Mitchell were the disciples on campus there, and we were just, hey, let's just do something. And so we studied the Bible with my friend Sean, and we had studied the Bible for, I don't know, 6 or 7 months, and we were kind of stuck at figuring out discipleship. And he said, you know what, I can't afford this. This is too high a price. Sorry. Goodbye. I was like, all right, well, there goes a great friend. But it's cool to think that that seed was planted, and just at the beginning of the summer, I got a phone call from Sean saying, hey, man, I just started reading my Bible again. Can we get together when I'm home for the summer? And so we got together, and we've been meeting 1 to 2 times a week all summer long. And just this week, he came to me, shook me at midweek, and said, Matt, I need to get baptized. You know? And it's so cool. He's got a couple of things to work on, but his heart is amazing. He's repented in some great ways. And so we're praying for my friend Sean. He'll be probably at the West service this morning, which is encouraging. Now, the good news could overflow, but at the same time, there is a lot of bad news. And I think it's fair that we talk about it here, because as the church, as God's people, we have the ability to bring the light into the dark world. We have the ability to influence the dark world. Does that make sense? So let's talk about it for a second. And, you know, I don't want to get overly complicated here, but you go on the news this last week, last couple of weeks, and there's been a lot that you've heard, whether it's about shootings or about, even just overseas, the crises that are going on. You know, maybe you have family or friends back in those countries or even in your own country. There's oppression. There's so many things that we feel. And one of those things that's going on right now, that might seem really random that I'm bringing this up, but I promise it ties into our message, is there's this thing called the Syrian refugee crisis. Has anybody ever heard of this? So there's a massive civil war going on in Syria for so many different reasons. And what's happened is that the people who live in Syria no longer feel safe living in Syria because of the unrest. And so there 12 million residents of Syria have been displaced from their homes. They got up and they left their homes, most without a plan of where they're going or what they're going to do or where their next meal is coming from. And in that same country, I think it's 14 million people are in need of some sort of outside assistance, because humanitarian assistance, because they can't survive. And so half of those 12 million, about 6 million, have fled from Syria and have gone to different countries to find refuge in these different countries. And unfortunately, some of the people who have left their home country have gone to countries that are now either rejecting them or are no longer providing assistance for them because it's too large a burden to take care of these people. And, you know, I just want to say that to think, man, we are so blessed where we are right now. And if there's anything we can do to help them, whether it's to give money, to give our heart, whatever it is, let's do that. You know, let's be thinking about it. But I do just want to start off today praying for that situation. Is that cool? Let's go hand in hand. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, you are the God of not just the world, but of the universe. And you've created all things. And you've created, in some amazing ways, exit strategies. You've created peace in times that we don't expect to have peace. You've provided physically, emotionally, spiritually for us, but we know that you do that for every human, that no human is greater than another human, that you care for every person. And we pray just for Syria, and we pray for those countries out there, as well as all the other situations that are going on in our lives right now. God, we just ask that you bring yourself into that. The Holy Spirit influence these situations. God, we pray that disciples are in a position of authority to influence these situations so that incredible things can happen. Lord, we love you and we need you. We need you now more than ever. And we pray this all in your Son's name. Amen. You know, this word refugee or refuge is a really interesting word. And for people who are in a situation where they're seeking refuge, what that means is they're looking, and I have the definition written down here. It means it's a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuing danger or trouble. And so people all throughout the world are seeking refuge somewhere else from danger in order to have peace and freedom from trouble and oppression. And as there's a refugee crisis going on throughout the world, I want to zoom out for a second and look at human nature and say, I think there's a refugee crisis going on right here. And our refugee crisis is that we're under heavy oppression. And I loved what Ashton was sharing for his communion, is this idea of our oppressor is not man or borders or people or countries or government. Our oppressor is the Lion King. It's Satan. And the thing that Satan does is that he brings about, he has weapons of really mass destruction. Weapons that inspire fear, anxiety, hopelessness, loneliness, anger, insecurity. And his way of operating is not through chemical warfare or through social warfare, but it's psychological warfare a lot of the times that he deals with us. And it's crazy. The oppression and the things that we feel on a day-to-day basis. You guys feel that? It's real. It's so real. And you know, some of the examples of the ways he uses those weapons are, you go on the news and the media and the news, and it's exhausting. I just feel exhausted listening to the news recently. From wherever outlet you get your news, it's like, man, where's the joy? Where is the peace? In fact, I think it can lead to a nasty cynicism if we're not careful. There is no hope. There is no peace. Where is this coming from? You know, the way that Satan goes after us is discouragement. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:12 that hope deferred makes the heart sick. I mean, Satan can work through opportunities of hope being deferred. And you could translate that, whatever that works, but you know when your hope is deferred, your heart gets sick. And we feel those things. And he's worked his way in. And in fact, there are ways that Satan works sometimes that don't even make sense. You just wake up and you feel sad. You ever felt that before? It's like, man, our oppressor has gotten through. And we just feel it. None of us are exempt from the attacks that Satan has. In fact, he has his own little portfolio with his attack, with your name on it, going after you. And so, all right, good luck, guys. No. We have a place to take refuge. We have a place to turn to where we can be strong in the middle of a storm. We have a place to turn to where we can be taken care of in the middle of it all. Unfortunately, in this world, there are people who don't take refuge in the right areas. And though while we all feel different things, and the things that we feel truly are not unique only to us, whether you're in the church, you're outside the church, whether you believe in Jesus or you don't, everyone is oppressed by Satan. But people wind up taking refuge in things and countries where it's actually not as beneficial as they hope it was going to be. And the situation in the end winds up being worse than it was in the beginning from the thing they were fleeing from. Does that make sense? What do we turn to? What do people turn to? And I don't think none of us are exempt from this. We turn to, hey, how about, you know, I'm just going to sleep it off. You know, things are feeling so much right now, I'm just going to sleep and hope it goes away. You know, let me turn to some drugs. Let me take the edge off so I don't need to feel or be enclosed in reality right now. Let me just ignore. Let me not care. Let me turn to women. Let me turn to men. Let me turn to whatever the outlet is. People go to seek refuge in those things. And we know our own areas of refuge that we turn to when it's not God. And unfortunately, the condition of those things winds up being worse than it was when we started. But I want to say this morning, we got some incredible hope. Amen? I got 2 points this morning. 2 points that I hope just encourages socks off you, that we can walk out of here saying, man, we got something incredible that we can't help but share about. And the first point is so simple. God is our refuge. God is our refuge. 60 times throughout the Old Testament, mostly throughout the Psalms, the psalm writer just pours out the idea that God is our refuge. God is our stronghold. God is our fortress from any offense that comes towards us, even Satan, who's a master at what he does. I want to go through a couple of those with you. Is that cool? Here we go. I'm not going to read the verses. I'll highlight a couple in a second. But it says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and my horn of salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, my savior. From violent people, you save me, God. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. If something connects with you, just go ahead and say amen. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you. Your word is a refuge. Be my rock of refuge. I don't even know what that means, but that's cool. Be my rock of refuge. You abundantly bless those who take refuge in you. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Take refuge in your wings and I will be blessed. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. We're going to keep going. You guys with me? This is awesome. I will take refuge in the shadows of your wings until the disaster has passed. My tower against the foe. I trust in him at all times. Pour out my heart to him, for God is our refuge. Be my rock to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. But my eyes are fixed on you. In you, I take refuge. You know, we can keep going, honestly. But God is our refuge. God is our rock. He is our rock of refuge. We can put our whole weight on him, and he will hold us. I love when he says, pour out your hearts to him. He is our refuge. You know, the things that we feel and the oppression that we undergo, we can pour out our hearts to him, and he's not going to fall over. We can pour out our things to him, and he's not going to be like, oh, it's too much. He goes, no, I'm a well of life. Come to me and pour out to me, and I will comfort you. I will take care of you. What an awesome promise. You know, he says our eyes must be fixed on our refuge. That's Psalm 141:8. I think it's a really cool thing to think about, is that we have to fix our eyes on our refuge. I mean, we all came into church today believing that God is real, hopefully. If not, you know, talk to somebody about that, and that'll be helpful. But we all came into church saying, hey, I know that God is our rock. We sing the songs, which are great. But I think I love when he says, you got to fix your eyes on our refuge. It's so easy to forget that, isn't it? And hopefully as we walk out of here, we can remember, no, God is the cave that I can climb into, the wings that I can climb under, to be safe despite our oppression. He abundantly blesses those who take refuge in him. Psalm 31:19. Abundantly blesses. Lavishly lays out. God does for us. Psalm 17:7, he reveals his wonders to us as we take refuge in him. It's like, yes, he abundantly blesses us, but once we get under his wing, he just takes us in his armored Humvee and goes, let me show you the world. I'll protect you. And it's life to the full when we cling next to God. That's amazing. It's like the refuge that he's giving us. We're going to take refugee in somewhere else. Like, he's a luxurious mansion that's well guarded. Like, this isn't just some cave wall that we're trying to stay in. God is a beautiful rock. God is an abundant rock. He is the one that we want to cling to and we need to cling to. Amen? So how do we take refuge in God? We want to do that. But fixing our eyes on him, amen. I think the way to do that is first, you have to identify where, apart from God, you are getting your source of refuge. You know, coming in this morning to church, or coming in this last week, if you look back, in those moments of let's just say, oppression, because we know it's Satan, it's not man, it's Satan come after us. In those moments of oppression, where you're really going through the throes of it, where do you turn to, apart from God, to get your sense of reprieve? Not that those are inherently bad, but I think if God's not the first thing that we turn to when we're feeling those things, we're going to get crushed. We're going to feel the weight, which is terrifying, is crushing. So the first thing is we have to identify, hey, where am I turning to? You know, is it food? Is it friends? Is it impurity? Is it, you name it. You know, for me, I'll just be real. I mean, I didn't even think about this. I just want to say it to be vulnerable here. But I think I so often turn to just like disengaging. You know, loving the campus ministry, loving the people around me, it can be so easy just to go, all right, autoplay or like autopilot. My heart's not engaged, but I'm just doing the things that I know I need to do. For me, I can just go into autopilot. And that's exhausting. Then I walk away feeling like I did so much, but why do I feel so bad? Well, it's because God wasn't my refuge when I was doing that. And we have to be real about those things. But how do you find your refuge in God? I mean, second, and this is simple, but it's really having a vibrant prayer life, vibrant, rich prayer life with God. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, staple scripture for all of us. I mean, if you've been around the fellowship for 12 minutes, you've heard this scripture 6 times. But it's a really, really good one. And in Philippians 4, verse 6, you can read the whole chapter. It's so good. But this is God's plan for us to crawl up into his wings, how to find refuge with him. And listen to what he says here. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about one thing. About your kids, about your family, about situations. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we got to remember the thanksgiving part, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Clinging into God. Having a vibrant prayer life where with thanksgiving, we just present our daily requests, our momentary requests to God. You know, hey, I'm feeling something, God. Hey, I'm feeling oppressed, God. It's like every moment we're going back to God. This was a struggle for me recently. And I think prayer life is one of those things that I wrestle with. And I can read for a while, but when it comes to praying, that's just hard. Anybody else have some trouble praying sometimes? Yeah. Honestly, it's real. And so I would go for these prayer walks. I'd have like a 20-minute prayer walk, and it would be on top of the mountain of the Lord, right? I'd be up there. I come down. My face is shining, and I'm like, hallelujah, I just saw Abraham. This is awesome. I come down. But that happened about once a month, okay? And I realized that if God's going to be my refuge, that needs to happen not once a month, but it needs to happen like 4 or 5 times a week. So I made the commitment at the beginning of the summer, you know, I'm going to wake up early, I'm going to go pray, I'm going to get time with my God. And it's been amazing this summer for me. And I'm not trying to boast, and we're all in different situations, but I just think it's been so refreshing being able to just go, you know what? This can't be a rare moment that I have a vibrant prayer life with God. The expectation is this needs to be every day. This needs to be weekly. And if it's not happening this week, I got to change it for next week. This is just for the prayers out there. If you're like an awesome prayer, this is for all of us. God says, come to me, pour out your anxieties on me, or pour out the things that you're anxious or you're pressed about, and I will give you peace for your souls. Peace that doesn't make any sense. Peace that shouldn't make sense. It's singing in the storm. It's pure joy in the face of serious trials. It's endurance. It's hope when there should be no hope. It's amazing to know that when we cling to God and we find refuge in Him, He gives us peace. And He leads us to where we need to go. Amen? God is our refuge. Bask in that goodness. Cling to the King. Start praying powerfully. He can take it. So that's my first point. God is our refuge. But we're going to flip the script a little bit. The second point is God is their refuge. God is, of course, our refuge. But God is their refuge. God is everyone's refuge, whether they know it or not. I love Psalm 73, verse 28. As we read earlier, he says, I will tell of all your deeds. In Psalm 59, 16, but I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. I will talk about it because I can't keep it in. When God is your refuge and you found the solution to what the world is craving, to all the broken refuges that people, all the different refuges that people turn to that keep leaving them empty, bitter, and wanting more, we've found that right here. And the truth is, out there, anything apart from God as their refuge will crumble. Anything apart from God as a refuge will crumble. I think we hear that, but do we really believe that? When you go into the grocery store and you look around and you see that person who looks like they have their life together, I don't know if they're a Christian or not. I don't want to say, I'm just going to assume they're not so I can share my faith with them. But I look at those people sometimes and go, yeah, they're pretty comfortable. But if God is not their refuge, no one has a right to be comfortable. God is the only refuge for eternity and on earth where we will be satisfied. And so we got to flip the script and know that God is our refuge, but God is their refuge. Turn with me to John chapter 12. John 12, verse 20. This is an awesome story. This is that Jesus moment that I think we've all come to love and respect. But John 12, verse 20. I'll read it, and then we'll talk about the context for a second, and then we'll try and get out of here soon. But he said in verse 20, now there were some Greeks among them who went up to worship at the festival. They came up to Philip. They came to Philip, who was with them from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, went to told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. Anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. It's a great scripture, isn't it? So Jesus is wherever he is. I think he's at some festival, right? And so he's at this festival, and he's reaching out to people. He's loving people. He's healing people. And then out of nowhere, this group of Greek people come up to want to talk to Jesus. So Philip talks to Andrew. Andrew and Philip talk for a while, and then without bringing them to Jesus, they go tell Jesus, hey, you got some Greeks here that want to see you. And Jesus goes, I'm ready to die. The time has come. Sign me up. It's like, what are you talking about? You know, I think it's really interesting in this scripture because Jesus was responsible for the Israelites. Jesus loved the Israelites and he served the Israelites. And in fact, his entire community, he was reaching out to the Israelites, to the Jews, to the people of God. And then here from Greece come these Gentiles, these non-Jews, people that Jesus, not that he wasn't responsible for them, but people that Jesus had not reached out to. A group of people that were far away from Jerusalem are now, the message reached them, and now they're coming to him. And he goes, I can't save them unless I die. And so he goes, the time has come, I must die. And I love what Jesus was doing there, because Jesus goes, I am the refuge, God is the refuge. They can't experience this unless I die. Unless I open it up to the Gentile world as well and start getting the new covenant going in action. And so Jesus, from this moment on, begins his trek through Jerusalem. This is the turning moment in Jesus' ministry. And it was born out of this place of they need refuge in God. It's not possible unless I die. Guys, that's the same truth for us. Refuge in God for others is not possible unless we die. Unless we die to ourselves. You know, when we're in line in the grocery store, when we're at work with that coworker, you've had those moments where you're like, I gotta share my faith, but I don't want to do it. Die. Put that part of you to death. Because that's where their hope, that's where it comes from. Death is a necessary part of growth. You know, I just want to get really practical as we close out here, is that next week we have this amazing Vision Expo service set up for, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000 people are all coming to New Jersey. Hey, how you doing, right? We're all coming to New Jersey. That's like a commute, like 15 minutes for us, right? That's amazing. We have the opportunity to bring our friends and family and strangers and neighbors and enemies into a chorus of 3,000 angels to sit down and experience God in a way they've likely never experienced God. The challenge I want to give you guys this week, not to die, but to remember that God is their refuge. So the challenge this week is, who are you bringing with you next week? It's overwhelming when we think about, man, there are so many people. And even just in Syria, we talked about all the people who've been displaced and whatnot. But I think the amazing thing that Jesus kept pushing was that you change the world one person at a time. I just want to ask you, who's your one person right now? Who's the one person that you're taking under your wing and saying, I'm going to help you fall in love with Jesus? I'm going to help you be a refuge or find your refuge in God. That's the command that all of us have been given from God, to go make disciples, to bring him into the refuge of the King. Now, for some of you guys, you might be like, hey, I got my one. I got 17 of them, right? You're Genesis Serviana. You got like 25 of them because you're so spiritual. Or you might be like, hey, I had my one. And then they said, I don't want to do this anymore. And now I don't have one. Who knows? I want to encourage you, hey, God is your refuge. He is your rock. You got the cure for spiritual cancer. Who are you taking to heal with you? Who are you bringing? You know, as we go forward, and we're going to, you know, the goal here is planting Christ in every community. We do that one person at a time. And as we have God as our refuge, bringing others to him, let's do that one person at a time. You know, I don't know how many people are in this audience. I think Russ said like 150, 200 people. If 150 people had one person next to them and said, hey, I'm going to help you. I'm going to introduce you to my King. And you're going to find refuge in my King. And let's say 75 people decide, hey, I'm going to do this. That sounds awesome. Okay, so that's We've grown now as a ministry from 150 to 225 people. Very cool. We do that again because we do it every year, right? And so now, as a ministry, we have 225 people. Half of the people might have fallen in love with God. I don't know what the numbers are. Hopefully you're following me at this point. 100-something people make Jesus Lord. Now our group's at 400 people in 2 years. Like, whoa, how did that happen? Well, you guys know the answer. Each one reach one. It's my responsibility to find one person to love and pour and give. And if it doesn't work out, then I'm going to keep loving and pouring and giving it to somebody else. Because God's awesome. And they need to know him. Everybody needs to know him. And if you want to share like two or three people with somebody else, go ahead and do that. But let's just love and pour out. Amen? Guys, we have refuge in God. The crisis can be avoided by falling into his wings. And we can thrive when it doesn't seem possible to do so. And the rest of the world is in need of saving, is in need of bringing into that refuge. So who are you going to bring with you? Amen. I love you guys.